Great to have you with us here on WPR News. You know, we love our ice fishing in Wisconsin, and today's next half hour is all about that with our guest, Captain Barb Carey. She's founder and president of Wisconsin Women Fish. She's also a captain in the U.S. Coast Guard, and as we talk with her, obviously she does a lot of fishing and ice fishing as well, and we want to hear from you. Share your big ice fishing stories. What's your favorite fish to catch? What about your favorite fish to eat? Tell us all about it at 800-642-1234. Email to talk@WPR.org. Captain Barb Carey, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You know, the second biggest walleye I ever caught, I caught ice fishing. And this will give you an indication about my social life at the time. It was New Year's Eve, and here I was out ice fishing at night with a friend of mine. And I dug the hole, set the minnow in and my tip up, and I was still on my knees. And I said, this looks like a good hole, and the flag came up and hit me in the face. And it was an 8-pound walleye, which is the biggest walleye I've ever caught in the state of Wisconsin. And so that's my fish story. Have you got a good one to tell?
Well, I have many, you know, and that's the thing about, you know, participating in ice fishing or any kind of fishing is you create these memories that just stay with you your whole life.
Yeah, yeah. When did you get started ice fishing?
Well, it's funny. I was a little kid. You know, I was about 10 years old, and my dad took me to a little fishery at a small town in the UP at the VFW, and I ended up winning a prize for the smallest fish, and that just stuck with me, and I've loved it ever since.
Yeah. What are your favorite things about it?
Well, you know, it's like you're on a different planet, almost like you're on the moon or something, you know, and there's something so special about it. Just the way that it makes noise when it's building ice, you know, you get this deep noise. It kind of sounds like whales, and your feet are kind of crunching on top of the ice. And it's just a really special place, I think. And, you know, it's being outside. You know, I played outside my whole life when I was a kid. And it's a way to continue to play outside all winter long when most people or a lot of people are inside complaining about the cold and waiting for better weather. I'm out there enjoying it as often as I can.
Yeah, I understand completely. As you were talking, I wondered about ice conditions. Got to be pretty good in Wisconsin. You always have to be careful. But the ice conditions are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a challenge, you know, and we've had some really bad ice years, and this year, you know, we're making ice every day. So then we got a lot of snow, so then we had kind of a slush issue, which is never good. But right now, I would say the conditions are absolutely perfect. So if you ever wanted to give it a try, this is the year to do it.
Yeah. How does the really cold weather affect fish, if at all, do you think?
Well, I think it shuts them down a little bit. It's more about not so much the temperature, but the barometric pressure. And that's, you know, kind of associated with a high pressure system when you get the cold weather in the clear skies. And that kind of shuts them down a little bit. So they're moving slower. They're not feeding as much. But, you know, it's more of a problem of everything around you breaking, not so much the fish being moody. It's just so hard to deal with a lot of times when you're dealing with that extreme cold.
Yeah. And when it's making ice, I lived on Lake Monona for quite a while, and the pressure cracks that sound almost like dynamite going off can be... pretty loud, and kind of, it's kind of fun. I was out once when the ice was just the first pressure crack, and it was like the ice kind of almost warbled a little bit and rolled a little bit while that first crusher crack went off. And that was kind of scary.
Yeah, it'll actually move you. I've been in my shack before when one kind of erupted fairly close to us and felt like the whole ice shack moved over about 2 feet. So it is like, you know, being on a surface that's alive. And it definitely has its own personality. And that's one of the things that we really, really stress is ice safety, because you have to be prepared every single time you go out. You know, you may be on a beautiful day that's cold and all of a sudden a big pressure crack comes up, and then you have to kind of go back the way you came. And if that crack wasn't there when you came out, you have to deal with that situation to get back.
Yeah. And that can be kind of scary. Well, talk about now, I said Wisconsin Women's Fish Club. I think if you look at your email address or your online address, it's WI Women Fish Club. So like I thought, well, is it really Wisconsin Fish Club or is it Fishing Club?
Well, you know, when I first started, I thought it could go either way. And it's actually WIWomenFish.com. And, you know, we often just say Wisconsin, but actually the group has close to 700 members from 23 states and 2 Canadian provinces. So, you know, it's not just about Wisconsin, that's for sure.
What gave you the idea to start it?
Well, I was fishing. I used to live in Madison, and I would fish the Madison lakes a lot and really, really enjoyed it. But I was the only woman I ever saw out there anywhere. And I kept thinking, you know, why aren't any other women out here doing this? Because I just loved it so much. And I realized that they probably didn't know how fun it was. So I started having events. You know, this was like about 23 years ago. And I supplied all the gear and went through an outfitter and kind of created some opportunities for women to give it a try. And it just kind of has snowballed since then. And it's amazing the growth in the women's community, but just in the sport in general.
And so you're sitting with, what'd you say, 700 members?
Yeah, from all over the place. We just had an event on Castle Rock Lake last weekend, and a woman flew in from Arizona to attend it. And she comes once a year to do this ice fishing event with us. And, I mean, it's just, you know, that's the power of social media and the internet. You know, you can find people or they can find you from all over the place. And we've created a kind of a support group for women anglers. And you know, so many times online when women are seeking information or sharing a catch they had, you know, it's kind of a dangerous place to go. You know, people will make comments or they'll, you know, say rude things. And so we've kind of created this safe space where they can learn and not have to worry about asking a question that someone says is stupid or, you know, it's just, and with that little bit of support, they're just growing like crazy.
Ed in McFarland has a question for you. Let's go there. Ed, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks. Kind of a joke, but kind of serious question. Is it fair to the fish, do you think, for ice fisher people to use sonar?
Well, I think it's fair. You know, there's a difference between regular sonar and forward-facing technology, and that's kind of the new hot-button topic right now, is this forward-facing live sonar a disadvantage to the fish? And I think in a much bigger picture than that, you know, we can have all these tools to us, you know, like power augers and all these different tools. But it comes with a way that you have to take those advantages and use them responsibly. You know, you want to be able to really select harvest the fish. You want to be able to take care of the fish that you do catch. And I think that the education that's been out there the last several years has really improved upon that habits by just your average ice angler. You'll see a lot more catch and release, and so I don't think it's a disadvantage. You know, it definitely makes it more fun.
Yeah, maybe explain for those who aren't familiar with forward facing live sonar. Explain how that works and so forth.
Well, you know, the traditional sonar that first started with ice fishing is kind of a sonar cone that goes straight down, so you can just basically see right below the hole. It's going to indicate whether there's a fish there below you or not, and whether or not it's chasing your bait. But the new technology that's out, the live forward-facing sonar, actually shoots this sonar out at a much greater distance. And as you point it, you could actually do a 360-degree, you know, radius around where you're fishing and shoot out 100 feet, and you're going to see if these fish are swimming around. You're going to be able to tell what kind of species they are. So that is a real advantage, obviously. You know, if you drill a hole and you see with your forward-facing sonar that 75 feet out this way, there's a big school of crappies, and you just walk over there and drill a hole, and you're right on the crappie. So there is definitely an advantage, and there is a lot of debate about how that's going to impact the fishery. You know, there's a lot of debate if they're going to allow it in tournaments or not. It's kind of the hot ticket item right now, what people are talking about. And there's pros and cons both ways.
Yeah, I have not used that myself, but I can see where it'd be a huge advantage, especially if you had a nice auger, a motorized one, where you can quickly dig new holes over the top of where you see fish, where the fish are, for sure. So you did mention events. What kind of events do you do? Because they take on many other forms than just simply going fishing.
Yes, you know, we have some that are educational. You know, we teach basic skills, you know, how to properly dress, how to drill a hole, how to use some of the tools that are specific to ice fishing. But then we also have destination trips. And we recently, in the last few years, since the skill level has grown so much, you know, within the members of our group, we have these more advanced events. So these gals that have their own on-ice transportation, all their own gear, you know, we're going to go out as a smaller group and kind of hit some of these specific destinations. Like this weekend, we're going to be fishing up in the UP. And so this is something that they may not ordinarily do on their own, but with a little bit of support and in this group, then they're able to go on these destination adventures that they won't even know about, for one thing, but with the sense of community and the support they have with the other people that are going with, it's just a grand adventure for everybody.
It sounds like it. And do you have competitions?
No, we don't. And we specifically don't for a reason. You know, there are other fishing clubs that really that is their sole thing is competition. But since we're so educational and we just want to have everyone improve as much as they can, I feel that if we add a competitive element to it, it takes away from the information sharing part of it. And we don't want that to happen. You know, that's why it was so hard when I first started ice fishing. You know, none of the old time guys were telling me anything. And I was flailing around trying to get better, and everything was like a big secret. And, you know, when I started teaching other women and sharing this sport with them, I thought, oh, I'm not going to just keep it a secret. I don't understand what the point of that is. And ever since then, we've kind of really not had really any competition within our group.
I can see why they're that it's a women's club.
I've heard that before. But you know what the great thing is? I mean, you will hear cheering, everyone cheering for someone who catches a big fish or catches their first fish through the ice. I mean, women are generally happier for their buddies who have success than they would be even for themselves. And that's kind of the culture that we're nurturing. That's kind of what I think is, you know, lacking right now as in society as a whole. And if we can create stewards of that way of being, I think it's better not only for them, but for the whole world.
Joan wants to know in an email, what do you need to start ice fishing? What equipment do you need?
You know, well, the first thing I say is you have to have good clothing, you know, because you can always borrow a piece of equipment somewhere, but it's hard to borrow a good pair of boots that fit you right or a suit that'll keep you warm. And so I always tell the new anglers, the first thing you invest in is a good base layer, good warm clothing. The technology in clothing has advanced so much now, the suits even float if you happen to fall through the ice for some reason. So that is the big thing. And one of the great things about our club is that we have a gear lending program, so you don't have to go out and buy everything the first time you want to go try it. And that's huge. You know, stuff is expensive. You know, it's high-tech stuff nowadays, and it's not cheap to get into. So hopefully you can tag along with buddies. If you got your suit and your boots and all that, you're good to go. Picking up a rod, you know, or a tip up or something. You go down in Madison where 100 people are ice fishing right close to shore over there at Brittingham Bay and take your little jig rod and find an open hole and just start ice fishing. I mean, there's that situation that would work for that.
Yeah. Or if you're out there, I've seen guys dig holes for somebody else if their own ice auger wasn't working, or it was maybe the ice was too thick or something. But usually most people, especially if they're tip-up fishing, are happy to share those kinds of things as well, because an ice auger, a motorized one, is, you know, it's cost some money.
Yeah, they're not cheap. And everything, you know, I mean, now they're all battery operated. To hear an actual gas auger on the ice nowadays is a rarity. You're thinking, oh, the old pop, 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 you know, the old gas jiffies. You don't hear that too much anymore.
No, you don't. And from my own income level, I feel that the basic tip-ups and so forth, and the rod and reel, you know, sort of ice fishing rod and reel, aren't super expensive.
No, not at all. You know, and the older stuff works just fine, you know. Like people said, oh, I have some tip-ups, but they were old. I think they belonged to my grandpa. I said, well, those are probably better than the new ones they make now. You're better off just putting new line on them and using those.
I had somebody make some box type tip-ups where the whole box went over and there was a little can inside. You could put a piece of charcoal or two, and that would keep the hole from freezing up, and then the hole would be also covered.
Yeah.
That was a little pricier, but it worked. And somebody else wondered about licenses, you know, a standard fishing license is going to cover you.
Right. Exactly.
You do have to pay attention to the regulations. I mean, there's limits and there's size limits and there's number limits and things like that. When you're on a specific lake, you need to know those rules before you go out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that changes, you know, like recently Wisconsin went to a pretty much a statewide limit that the possession limit when you're out there catching for the day on walleyes is 3 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there are some slot limits. Some lakes have, like, you can't keep any walleyes between 20 and 28. So you have to kind of not only the state in general, but just the specific lake you're fishing may have some variations that you want to be sure to check before you head out.
Yeah. And the best spots to go? What are some of the best fishing areas in your mind?
Well, you know, the information like out there now about what fish are on what lakes, it's pretty easy to find. So you don't want to go walleye fishing in a lake that doesn't have any walleye in it. So, you know, that you got to do a little bit of homework if you want a specific species. You know, in general, you know, if you, even it, where you live, you're driving through your community and you see lakes that are heavy populated by ice anglers, that's where I'd start if you're looking.
Yeah.
Once you improve your skills a little bit, there's so many destinations that, like, if you look up at Door County, you know, in the whitefish fishing up there, it's just a huge, huge boom the last several years. So somebody fairly new can go up to Door County, rent, go out with one of these outfitters. They'll give you a ride out, put you in a heated shack, and you can sit in there and fish for whitefish all day. It's just really a fun experience.
Tom in Columbus has something for us. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Larry. I'm not looking forward to retirement, so thank you for all the years. Thank you for all your years. Thanks to the guests, too, for what she does. I recently, in the last 10 years or so, got my wife into ice, and we got her first 40-incher out there off of Governor's fishing for pike a year or two back, and she absolutely loves it. I mean, we unfortunately didn't get out a lot this year, but it's amazing how people kind of gravitate towards improving and gravitate towards her when she's out there. And she just absolutely loves it. And those smiles and the playing euchre, sitting on a bucket and all that other stuff and all the stuff that goes along with it is so much a part. It's the old, you know, the destination is great. But the journey, again, it's cliche, but it's all the peripheral that, you know, a lot of us old deer hunters kind of miss with some of the recent regulation changes. But women and ice go together perfect. So thank you for what you do.
Tom? Yeah, go ahead, Barb.
That's so great to hear, you know. And what I see happen is, you know, you get some of the women that start getting involved, you know, and then they start getting more independent. I mean, their confidence level just skyrockets. You know, it may start with fishing, but it ends up crossing over into all different parts of their lives. And, you know, when you're hauling an ATV on a trailer, you know, and you're going somewhere to go ice fishing, all of a sudden you get a flat tire, you know, and you have to deal with these things that come up just for, you know, being involved in a sport that's outdoors, you know, and you're going in inclement weather and, so all these little challenges come before you, and, you know, you learn to overcome them. You learn to drill a hole in the ice. You learn to, you know, to finally fine-tune everything so you're catching a fish as opposed to not having any success. And each one of those moments that you have kind of just helps you blossom as a person and carries over throughout the rest of your life in every aspect.
Barb, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I want to give that your website address again, because I bet there are some women who might be interested in joining up and finding out what everything's all about. It's wiwomenfish.com is the place to go, and you'll learn some more about the organization, and also it's linked to our website as well. Talk at WPR.org/Larry, but it's wiwomenfish.com. Barb Carey, great to have her with us. We'll get her back, and we'll talk with her again. Founder and president of Wisconsin Women Fish, and also a captain in the U.S. Coast Guard. I didn't get to ask her about that. I'll do that the next time we have her on. Coming up, we're going to talk about some work and research that's been done on food waste here in our state. It's kind of depressing in a way to think about it, but there's some good positives there as we talk with our guest from the DNR. I'm Larry Mueller.